Good morning, brothers and sisters. For this morning's exhortation, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3 is what we'll read this morning. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This is God's word. This morning I'd like to begin a series of exhortations from this amazing chapter in Hebrews, the Hall of Faith, the faith chapter as we call it. And we talk much about faith in the Christian life and the importance of faith. It's noteworthy that when we talk about Christianity, we usually don't say the Christian religion. More often we actually say the Christian faith because of how basic faith is to the Christian life. And we understand this propositionally. We talk about the importance of faith, but sometimes we're surprised about just how essential it is to live this life. What would you think of somebody joining the airborne division who never really expected to jump out of planes? Like, he knew that that might be part of it, but he wasn't really planning on jumping out of planes. And when it came to the moment where he actually had to do it, he holds on to the side of the plane, is not wanting to jump out. Similarly, we know that faith is essential, but when it comes to actually facing the hardships of life and needing faith to do it, we're sometimes surprised by just how important faith really is. In this chapter, it gives us picture upon picture of faith in life and the essential nature of faith and what it looks like, faith in action, the different forms that faith takes. These are powerful pictures, and I think that they will continue to bolster our faith, give greater foundations to our faith. And so I hope that we will see that together. So I want to show you, before we go into the text itself, the bookends of this chapter. There's two bookends, literally, Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. Those two sections help us to understand this chapter. So look at Hebrews 10, verses 36 through 39. The discussion on faith actually begins in Hebrews 10, before Hebrews 11. And it says in verse 36 of 10, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Notice the topic in verse 36. You have need of patience. He's exhorting them to faith, patient faith, waiting faith, and holding on, persevering, believing the promises of God. This passage that is quoted is from Habakkuk 2. You'll know that the Apostle Paul quotes the same passage when talking about justification by faith. The same verse can be understood not only for that initial justification we receive when we believe in Jesus Christ, but faith in life. The same faith that we are justified by is the same faith that we live by day. And the author encourages us, as he so often does in verse 39, "But we are not of those that draw back." He's constantly encouraging us to remember who we are in Christ. We're not those that draw back unto perdition and destruction, but have faith to the preserving of our souls. Okay, so that's the first bookend. That's how this discussion begins. Patient waiting for the promises of God, for the salvation of God. And then Hebrews 12. After concluding the discussion of Hebrews 11 in verses 1 through 2, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," notice that word again, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So he exhorts us to patience again. He says that this life is a race, And it is a race that is lived with the constant object in front of us at the finish line is Jesus. He is always where we look. We don't look to the left or the right. We keep our eyes on him. So Hebrews 12 tells us the object of faith. Who do we believe in? What are we looking to? Who are we looking to? It is Jesus. So these two bookends help us to see the point of the entire chapter of Hebrews 11. He wants us to persevere in the faith, patiently persevere in the faith, and he's going to show us through the lives of the saints and through Jesus himself what this looks like. So let's look at the two verses that we read this morning. We won't look at verse 3, though. We'll do that next week. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. We have this concise one-verse definition of faith. It's not all that faith is. You could add a lot to this definition. But here, this definition is key to what comes in the rest of the chapter. And what it's saying is, faith is a hope-filled faith. It's looking forward to things we do not see, we do not have in possession yet. Calvin really explains this well when he says, describes the apparent inconsistency that this is. He says, these two things, though apparently inconsistent, do yet perfectly harmonize when we speak of faith. For the Spirit of God shows to us hidden things, the knowledge of which cannot reach our senses. Promised to us is eternal life, but it is promised to the dead. We're assured of a happy resurrection, but we are as yet involved in corruption. We are pronounced just, but sin still dwells in us. We hear that we are happy, but we are as yet in the midst of many miseries. An abundance of all good things is promised to us, but still we often hunger and thirst. God proclaims that he will come quickly, but he seems deaf when we cry to him. What would become of us were we not supported by hope? And did not our minds emerge out of the midst of the darkness above the world through the light of God's word and of his Spirit? So faith, then, is rightly said to be the substance of things which are as yet the objects of hope and the evidence of things not seen. Paul says the same thing when he says we live by faith and not by sight. And the world sometimes ridicules the faith of Christians. It says, well, that's just a blind leap into the dark. It's a leap into irrationality. Our faith is not a blind leap into the dark. Our faith is based on truth. There is no surer foundation to rest your faith upon than the Word of God. No evidence can compare to the Word of God and what it tells us. This is no leap into the dark. It is a leap into the hands of an infallible and perfect God who will keep his promises to us. So how does this matter for us? What does this mean? Well, each of us, we have certain burdens and anxieties, as Calvin described, as all these things that we don't have yet. We are waiting for so many things. And as the hymn It Is Well says, we do want these things to be sight. O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. We're longing for that. But we are here right now, and just as the saints of Hebrews 11, every single one of them was looking forward to something they didn't see. He's going to prove that over and over again to us. We are hoping for things not yet in possession. So the point for us this morning is to embrace the life of patience. Embrace the life of patience. This definition of faith tells us that faith is a life of waiting. Faith is hope. It is hoping for things yet to come. We're waiting for big things. We're waiting for the resurrection of the body, the return of Christ. But we're waiting for a lot of other things as well. We're waiting for us to continue to grow in Christ, for that sin to be killed. Perhaps we're waiting for repentance in that one child that has not come yet. Perhaps we're waiting for that illness to be healed and it hasn't happened yet, but you're still hoping, you're still waiting. So what this tells us, this definition of faith says that to be in the waiting room is of the essence of faith. We are in the waiting room. A lot of us don't like the waiting room. There's not much to do in the waiting room and the kinds of waiting rooms that we have to wait in. But in this waiting room of faith, God is with us. His promises are with us. And we know what's on the other side of that door. Lamentations 3. We've read this passage many times recently, 25 through 26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for them, for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Waiting is so good for us. We need to wait. What better way for us to become increasingly dependent upon our God, but to wait for him. And while we wait, as the bookend said in Hebrews 12, we keep our eyes glued on Jesus Christ, never taking our eyes off him. Keep running the race. Don't take your eyes off him. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I encourage you to wait upon the Lord. Embrace the life of patience that he has given us. This is faith. This is what it looks like. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank you that we have your promises, that the faith that we have put in your word is no blind leap into darkness, into irrationality, but it is the surest thing that we could believe. It is the certainty of things not yet seen. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us in the midst of day-to-day struggles, where it seems so hard to live by faith, that you would strengthen us, that we would remember that this is exactly where we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be waiting upon you. Teach us to be good waiters. Teach us to be patient in all the trials and tribulations that you will bring us through. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.